Philippians 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we'll finish out chapter 1 this morning. And you ask, how long are we going to be in the book of Philippians? I don't know, and I'm not trying to hurry through it. Sometimes I feel like, I don't know how long you want to listen to preaching from the same book or not, but every verse is just packed with so much truth, and that you don't want to skip over it or pass by it, and there's something that we need for each and every day. And so we'll go through this and finish chapter 1 today, and maybe finish the rest of the book sometime next year. Not sure how that goes. But as you turn there, let's pray and ask for God's blessing on the service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your blessings. And I just ask for your help today, Lord, that you would use your word to speak to our hearts and lives. And Lord, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And thank you for the morning we have in church. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Philippians chapter 1, and then verse number 28, Philippians 1, 28. Did I get this thing on, Brother Crocker? We're good. All right, great. Philippians 1 and verse number 28, and we'll read through verse number 30. And why don't we read this together, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, and we'll read in unison to verse number 30. The Bible says, ready and begin. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. And last week we looked at the subject of the last few verses about the challenge to the believers. And the challenge was about growing in Christ, found in verse number, verse number 23, I believe it is. And nope, that wasn't it. Anyway, it's in there somewhere. And verse number 25, and for your furtherance and joy of faith, that we should be growing as a Christian. And then we saw in the next verse that we should be rejoicing as a Christian as well. And rejoicing in Jesus Christ, and that it may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. You may not be able to rejoice in the things of this world, but you can always rejoice in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. In a world that's always changing, God never changes. And he's always perfect, always holy, always right. And so our rejoicing should always be in Jesus Christ. If you're rejoicing as in, you know, your bank account and the stock market and the economy, and you know, it's up and down all the time. But if rejoicing is in Jesus Christ, you can always be rejoicing. Rejoice in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. And so rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 27, we look at the unity of the church. The unity of the church in the last part of the verse, it says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And the purpose of the church is Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the gospel. And if we have a unity following God, we'll stay correct and on course. But today it has a little bit of a change of direction, which really continues to the book of Philippians. And again, the book of Philippians is about rejoicing. Rejoicing, finding joy in Christ. But remember, rejoicing was really found through trials and difficulty. It wasn't found in, you know, all the fun and joy and pleasures of life, really. But his rejoicing was found through trials. And we're going to look today in three areas that you see in verse 1 and verse 28, and then 29 and verse 30. And the three areas that Paul mentions, that God mentions that Paul would face, we will face today. And it's about facing opposition. Facing opposition. Anything in life, you're going to have opposition. You're just going to, and it may be from you, it may be from someone else. You ever your own worst enemy, right? No, right? Yeah, and you're like, man, if I could get past me, we'd have a good day. But facing opposition, in verse number 28, it talks about your adversaries. In verse number 29, it talks about suffering. And then verse number 30 talks about conflict. And we're going to face opposition in life. We don't love opposition, but that's just a part of life, that we are going to face opposition. We're going to have difficulty in life. Why is it that in the Christian life, we picture well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and that's all great. But we picture that the Christian life should be like a walk on the beach at sunset with the tide, you know, with the water, you know, rushing in and coming out, and just that it should be a peaceful walk through life. Now, we should have peace in our hearts, but the Christian life really is surrounded by storms and trials and difficulty and opposition. And so really, the Christian life in the Bible is explained from the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of God as fighting the good fight. Right? You say, I don't want opposition. Well, every day as a Christian is a battle. It's a fight. You think, can't we all just get along? That's not what the Bible teaches. Why? Because we'll see in verse number 28, why? Because we have an adversary. You have an opponent. You have an enemy. You think, I just want it all to be smooth and calm and easy. Not in this life. In heaven, yes, but not in this life. So we're going to have adversity. We're going to have suffering. We're going to have conflict. The Bible describes the Christian life as a battle. It's a battle. Battling the flesh, battling the devil, battling this world. It's a battle. The Bible explains the Christian life as a war. That we should war a good warfare. You think, I don't want to fight today. I don't want to battle today. Guess what? If you have an opponent, if you have an enemy, you're either fighting or you're losing. You're either fighting the devil, you're fighting the flesh or this world every single day, or you're going to lose that battle. You're going to lose that fight. And so it is a battle. It's a war. The Bible talks about running the race of the Christian life. And the Christian life is all about pressing forward through adversity. You know, maybe you do or don't love athletics. I love the athletics. What is it? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. You know, the ups and downs of, like, you have to push through the opposition, and then that victory is so much sweeter because you had an opponent. But the great thing is this, that we do have opposition, but we have Jesus Christ on our side. Amen? And we have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you're not going through it on your own. You get to go through the Christian life with God by your side. So we'll have opposition, but we have the Lord by our side. I think of this opposition that you face. David was opposed by Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were opposed by the king and those that he set up. Daniel was opposed by King Darius and the presidents and the princes. Moses was opposed by Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. Elijah was opposed by King Ahab and the false prophets. Noah was opposed by everyone except for his family. Joseph was opposed by his brothers. You look through the Bible, there's opposition. For every single Christian that did anything for God, there was always opposition. And there's going to be opposition that we're going to face in our life. And so what are the three areas that we will have opposition in our life that we'll see in verse 28 through verse number 30. The first one is the opposition of an adversary. Again, in verse 28 it says, and in nothing, look at this, terrified by your adversaries. Paul says, you have nothing to be afraid about. You think, but do you know our adversary? Remember, the Bible says your adversary, who? The devil. We don't need to live in fear of the devil. But we should have a level of respect for what the devil can do. Not an honor for the devil, but a respect that the devil is real. And he's smart and he's good at what he does. And we have a real adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary today. But the Bible says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You have nothing to be afraid about, God says, with your adversary. Is there nothing to be afraid about with the devil and what the world? Well, there's some things to be afraid of. There's some things that are scary about that, but I don't need to live in fear as a Christian. Remember, Paul, he was facing clear opposition. His life was on the line. And the adversary wanted Paul to be shut up. He wanted him quiet. He wanted to be done with all Christians. You realize that all throughout history that Satan has tried to get rid of every Christian that he can? How many times in history do you see that Christians are trying to be wiped out by this world, by Satan? that the Word of God is constantly attacked and tried to be burned and getting rid of completely. We have a real adversary, but we have nothing to be afraid about. Amen? We have nothing to be afraid about as a Christian. Our adversary is the devil. The devil is contrary to God, contrary to your faith, contrary to your beliefs, contrary to the Word of God. He is the outright enemy of God and anyone that stands for God. Why do you think God's people are so opposed today, the Jewish people? Because Satan wants God's people gone. Why do people oppose Christians today? Because the devil wants Christians gone and quiet. But guess what? God will win. Amen? God will win. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We have victory in God and nothing terrified by, excuse me, your adversaries. An adversary can be explained as the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Yeah, this isn't very encouraging. No, but it's the reality, though. Yeah. It's the reality of life that we have many adversaries. Again, why? Because too many times Christians walking through life, you know, let's just all get along, peace, love, and happiness. And yes, I want peace, love, and happiness in my home, my life as well. But the reality is we have an adversary. And you got to be watching. You got to be careful. We need to, first of all, identify the enemy. Identify the enemy. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You need to identify who the enemy is. We looked at that already in 1 Peter 5:8, that the adversary is the devil. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, you find it there, just a page back for me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. Well, let's go back to verse number 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." His attacks are coming, and you got to be ready to stand with the armor of God. But then it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And it continues about taking on the whole armor of God. Our enemy is the devil. Guess what? Our enemy is not other people. Too many people today think, well, if you believe that as a Christian, then we're your enemies. No, we're not the enemy of any person, but Satan. Satan is our real and outright enemy because he has identified himself as the enemy of God by his choice. Satan uses people to influence them to do his work, though. Right? There's people out there you think, man, I'm not sure if you're the Antichrist, but maybe, you know. Satan will use people and set them up in powers to do his work. We must identify the enemy, and the real enemy is Satan. The Bible says again in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, I'll read a couple of verses there. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom," the Bible says, "resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Not only do we need to identify the enemy, but we need to resist the enemy. We need to resist the enemy. I remember as a kid, my grandpa taught self-defense, taught karate. And he was not the fun karate teacher, let's put it that way. I love my grandparents, great Christians. When I went to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I did not have what you would call as the fun grandparents. I had the work grandparents. We went to their house. It was like, all right, time to work. Get to work. And he had us doing all kinds of chores all the time. But he would teach self-defense, and he had a big, they had a big garage. The upper second story was my grandmother's business, and the lower floor was the garage, which became his karate studio. And so we'd meet there when we were there, and we'd do karate self-defense with him. And he would teach us about self-defense in different areas. And watch out, I'm trained. Just want to let you know. I forgot everything I was trained in, but I was trained at one point. But I remember him teaching us with self-defense with Peter. And when Peter would resist the Lord and Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And you resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will what? Flee from you. You resist the devil and he'll flee. He'll run away like a chicken, right? I think about the devil as a bully. You know, we've got like the hashtag stop bullying. Good luck, all right? Always has been, always, I'm not for it, you know. But I think of the devil as a bully. He uses a lot of bully tactics to scare you, to threaten you, to trick you, to try to harm you. But if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will run away. Why? Because God is on your side. When you resist the devil, he will flee. That's why this statement, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make anyone do anything. He can tempt you, but he cannot force you to do anything. You resist the devil, and he will flee. To resist is to stand against and to oppose. The devil should know every day that we are the enemy of the devil. I'm not on his side. I'm not welcoming him into my home, to my life, my family. I'm in opposition to the devil. Why? Because the devil is in opposition to you. He's against you and your God and your Bible, and he's not going to ever tell you the truth. He will harm you every day, every time he can get. He's a bully, but if you resist him, he will flee from you. We need to live in opposition to the adversary, but not living in fear. You know, we live in a world, you look around, you think, God, how's it going to turn out, and what's going to happen? And you look around at conflicts, and you look at the progression where sin has corrupted our country, and you think, man, what kind of country are we going to have anymore? But the Bible says this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Christians, we don't need to live in fear. I know there's things that may be fearful. You can get a report, a phone call in a moment, and there's some fear there. But we don't need to live in fear because God's given us power and love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not." Why? "For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Fear not, God is with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up against the king, and they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they said, "King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter." And they said, "You want to throw us in, you can throw us in, but we will not change our mind. We will not bow to that false idol." And they threw them in, and it was so hot that it consumed the men that threw in these three Hebrew young men. But they weren't consumed. They weren't burned, not a bit. And as the king looked in, he says, "I see a fourth person there." He's like, "Wait, I think we counted. We put three in there, and now there's four. Am I seeing things?" But he said, "The fourth is like unto the Son of God. No matter where you are, God will not leave you nor forsake you." You ever thought, does God know where I am? Does God know what I'm going through? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't need to live in fear. The devil has no control and power over your life. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." We have adversity. We have an adversary, but we can't quit. We can't give up. You think, but I don't know how it's going to turn out. Well, I don't either, but God does. And again, don't think that you're the only one facing opposition. You're the only one having difficulty. The devil's fighting everyone. He's fighting against those that are saved even more than those that are lost. The lost, he wants to keep them blinded to the gospel, but he wants to keep you quiet. He doesn't want you living for God, telling others about God. So we have the opposition of an adversary. Number two, in verse number 29, we have the opposition of suffering. Look at verse 29. It says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Where you believe on Christ, you will suffer for his sake. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone is going to go through their amount of suffering in this life. We are all, none of us are exempt from it. You say, why do we have suffering? You know, and people want to blame God. God, why does this happen? If you want to blame anyone, blame our sinful condition. God created two perfect people in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin, no sickness, no death. There was none of that. But when they sinned, everything changed. Hey, we're all going to have suffering that we face in life. But the Bible says this, we'll suffer. Look at the last few words. We'll suffer. What's the last three words? For his sake. Not meaninglessly. Is that a word? I'm not sure. It is now. Not for no reason, but for his sake. You say, I don't know why I'm going through this. There's a reason. There's a purpose that God allows suffering into our lives. You think of Job. Why would God allow such suffering in Job's life? And when Job, he'd go through that, he said, I shall come forth as gold. He had no idea how it was going to turn out. And he was going through a whole lot of suffering. But guess what? God turned it all up for good. We're going to go through suffering in life. Why is it that we feel like we don't need to go through suffering? Again, we have an adversary, we have opposition, but then we have suffering in life. We have trials that God allows us to go through in our lives. Why should we escape the suffering that everyone else, every Christian has gone through? Everyone's going to have their amount of suffering. But think about this, no one has suffered like Jesus suffered. No one has gone through what our Savior went through for us. What suffering we do face is nowhere near what Jesus suffered. We don't suffer for no reason at all. We suffer for his sake. Think about what Jesus Christ went through. He was born of a virgin's womb into a manger. He came into his own, and his own received him not. As a baby, they sought to kill him, and his parents had to flee for the life to protect the Savior because they wanted to have him killed. He had no place to lay his head. He was lied about. He was mocked. He was doubted. His own cousin was beheaded. He was betrayed by one of the disciples, Judas, by a kiss of betrayal in the garden. He was falsely accused, unfair trials. He was beaten, crown of thorns, spat upon, stripped of his clothes, chosen to die over a murderer, nailed to a rugged cross, forsaken by all but just a few, the sins of all mankind taken upon our Savior that deserved not a single one of those sins, not a single bit of punishment did he deserve. He gave his life for you and me, was buried in a borrowed tomb and then rose again. No one suffered like Jesus suffered. You know, sometimes we go through suffering and it's real, but then you think it's nothing compared to what the Savior went through. Right? We suffer for his sake. Not for no reason at all, but for his sake. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's verse number 10, it says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered for a while. Think about that. You suffered for a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. The suffering we have in this life is but for a moment. It's but for a time. And I think some of that helps us to look forward to heaven, where there is no more suffering, no more night, no more sorrow. We will have suffering for a time, but this weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it cometh in the morning. Don't get stuck under the suffering. Don't get stuck under the woe is me, no one else has ever gone through this. If you take some time to look around, and I'm not trying to make light of anyone's trials, but you look around in the room and there's someone going through a bigger trial than you are. There's always someone going through another trial. And if no one else has gone through a trial like you have, Jesus suffered more than anyone else has suffered. Hey, we suffer for his sake. God, if God would suffer for me to bring salvation to my life, to be nailed to a rugged cross, then I should be willing to suffer for his sake. The New Testament Christians, again, I am always just dumbfounded by their faith, that they found it joy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That they found it, the Bible says that they counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Instead of saying, why do I have to go through this? Say, Lord, thank you, I get to suffer for you. You ever thank God for your suffering? Thank God for your trials, your difficulty. Hey, God allowed it to come into your life. Have the perspective of Job, where Job would say that I shall come forth as gold. How about Joseph? How about Joseph through the trials that he went through, and he was faked his death by his brothers and sent to a foreign country and lied about. And all of that, Joseph said that God meant it for good. The suffering we face, again, is but for a moment. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul knew a little bit about suffering, didn't he? Paul knew a whole lot about suffering. And I want to read you these verses because they're very powerful verses, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, what God allowed him to go through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 24. And it says this, of Paul's testimony, what he went through for the sake of Christ. It says, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Beaten five separate times, 40 stripes each time. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. And journeyings often, and perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul talks about the trials that he went through in his life. I've not gone through those kind of trials. I've gone through my own set of suffering, but I've not gone through that suffering before. May we have the right perspective that the suffering we go through is for the name of Christ. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, Moses said, I can have the pleasures of sin here and the Pharaoh's palace. Or he said, I can choose to be with God's people and suffer with them. And he said, I choose the suffering with God's people. He chose that. Too many people today choose the pleasures of sin over the suffering with God. Too many people want to link up with this world and try to have the pleasures of sin than to have the suffering that goes with God. Remember, if you stand up for God, you're going to have more suffering. You're going to have more persecution. You say, well, then I'm going to keep my lips quiet. No, that's not what we should do as a Christian. We will face suffering, but may we do it with the right spirit, with the right attitude, for the name of Christ. We should count it a joy to suffer for the name of Christ. We know just a bit of what the Savior went through for our suffering on the cross. We see the opposition of the adversary. Turn back to Philippians chapter 1, a few pages to your right. We see the opposition of suffering, but then we see the opposition of conflict. In verse number 30, it says, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul said, you heard about this conflict, or I said, you saw it, and now you hear it to be in me. Did they see Paul in prison? I'm not sure what conflict he was referring to there. Maybe they visited him in prison before, and now they're seeing him, hearing about it again. He said, you saw my suffering, but he said this, the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Guess what? We're going to face conflict. Conflict is contention, fighting, obstacles. We're going to face that in life. Do I enjoy conflict? No, I do not. I'm a middle child. Trying to keep the peace between the older and the younger siblings. That's my job, right? And I always did a perfect job at it, right? I think the middle children are the antagonists, right? Maybe. Are you amening for me or you?
I'm the youngest.
For you. All right, you're the youngest. All right. We've got some things to say about the youngest as well. I don't enjoy conflict, to be honest. I'd rather stay out of it. There's conflict here. I'd rather go around it. I don't want to face it. But guess what? We're going to have to face conflict in life. Why? Because, again, you go back to we have an adversary. We have an enemy. And you keep running away from the enemy. At some point, you got to face the enemy head on. What did David do when he got to Goliath? He did a sneak attack around the back? No. Did he say, like, look in the bushes right there? No, what did he do? He took that sling and he went running to the giant. And it said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, and knocked that giant flat on his back, cut off his head, held it up. He defeated the enemy. There's going to be conflict in life. Again, a battle, a fight, a war. We're going to have conflict. You say, I don't want conflict. I just want to keep the peace. You know, many times keeping the peace is I'm going to give up my convictions. There's many times what we say, well, I want to resolve the conflict. Well, I'm just going to allow it in my house because I don't want to be a conflict. No. You're going to have to face that conflict. You're going to have to face that enemy, if you will. Everyone will face conflict, and we're going to face it in many areas of life, but are you facing it the right way? Are you facing the enemy the right way? We're going to face conflict. The question is, what kind of conflict are you facing? You're either going to be for God and against the devil, or you're going to be with the devil and against God. You choose. Remember, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. You love the one and hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You got to choose a side. I'd rather be on God's side fighting the enemy. Why? Because in the end, we win. Amen? We win. We're not losing this battle. You're saved and going to heaven. It doesn't matter what man can do to you in this life, not to make light of it. But heaven for all eternity, Satan is going to be defeated. He already is defeated, but one day he'll be locked away forever, and his work will be done for all eternity, and we win with Jesus Christ forever. Conflict. You're going to have to face it. I don't want to get to heaven someday and hang my head and say, God, I should have stood up for you. I should have said something. I should have been a witness for you. I should have stayed true to my beliefs. I think about, again, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The music played. They stood standing and everyone else bowed. Everyone else bowed. Maybe they looked around and went, man, I should have been standing with them. You say, but the fiery furnace, I don't want that. Well, I don't think they did either. But they said, we'll stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, stand up for Jesus Christ. Don't be quiet. Stand up. Again, the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Not just looking for a fight, not looking for a battle, but we do have an enemy. And if you don't fight the enemy, he's going to defeat you. Too many people give in to family, friends, peer pressure, do the wrong thing because they just want no conflict. Well, how about face it? Say, I don't want conflict. I'm not here to fight. This is what I believe. This is what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to stand on. With the right spirit, not looking for a conflict, but the devil's looking for a fight. In conclusion, we have an adversary, the devil. We will face suffering for Christ's sake, and you will face conflict by this world and living for God. I know those all sound like negatives, but with the right spirit, it's a blessing. Because you're on the right side. Amen? We're on the right side, not the wrong side. I'd rather be against the devil than against God. I'd rather suffer for Christ's sake than for the devil's sake. I'd rather be in conflict with the world than with God and His Word. Let's not have the mentality of the, woe is me, why do I have to go through all this? I know, we all get there. I get there, you get there, we all do. But instead say, God, thank you. I get to go through this for your sake. So let's have the right spirit. We're going to face opposition, but stand strong. Stand with the Lord. Stand in God's word with the right spirit, with the right beliefs, and God will help you to face that adversary, that enemy, that opposition, that suffering that you may face this week, and stay right even in the midst of the persecution. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll take our offering this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you have blessed us with. Thank you for the word of God to help us in our life. Help us to have strength to stand firm on your word. Lord, you didn't back down in the face of opposition. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. You went through that for us. Lord, may we find it a joy and a pleasure and rejoicing to suffer for your name's sake. We thank you, Lord, for the morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.